If you could change one thing that would create a more just society today, what would that be?
That's a tough one.
What would make the difference?
Just to be able to step outside of the stereotypes that we've built up, whether it's to protect ourselves or to gain resources from other people, and just really see each human being as a whole, autonomous, lovely thing, that each person has something beautiful within them.
Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I'm Marcia Lazarus with Saratoga resident Jean Fay. Jean will be talking about what can only be called her meaningful work.
I'm thrilled, Jean, to have this opportunity to learn more about your efforts to fight racism, homophobia, and to truly celebrate our human diversity. You bring a really wide lens to this work, Jean. You've grown up in different countries: East Pakistan, Lebanon, Liberia, Switzerland, France, and several other states in the United States. How has this impacted your work? And can you point to a particular instance of injustice that you witnessed or experienced yourself that really stimulated your desire and determination to pursue racial justice in particular?
Traveling all over, especially through India and Asia, and actually all over the world, I really grew up seeing extreme hardship and poverty. So I didn't realize it then, but I was seeing the results of capitalist pressure on these poor countries where the wealthier nations were taking all of their resources away and leaving those people in dire poverty. I can remember seeing in India, we would land in Calcutta, and I can remember seeing a truck every morning driving through the streets and picking up the people who had died overnight on the streets, because they literally lived and died on the streets. As a small child, I had received a lot of discrimination when I was first sent off to school to try and get on the school bus, and the kids would tease me and not let me sit down, and the bus driver would yell at me because I wasn't sitting down. I was kind of caught in this thing. I never understood what that was about. I always thought there was something wrong with me, therefore, and I started to internalize a lot of that negative rejection. And as an individual, I was not growing up in an Asian American neighborhood. And then living abroad, I was definitely viewed as an American because I had all the rights and privileges that an American white person would have, when I was living in poorer nations. But it wasn't until I had a child, and suddenly I said, I don't want my child to grow up internalizing these thoughts about themselves when there's no trueness to it.
For the last 25 years, you have been studying race and racism and homophobia and the dynamics of power, and you've designed and delivered racism awareness and people of color empowerment workshops in schools, colleges, agencies, locally and nationally.
I was in my 40s when I first started to actually hear and use the word racism. Right? I'd grown up, I'd gone to pretty good college here in the United States, and there were several students of color there. And I later found out I was the only person of color to graduate in my year, even though there had been many more or several more who had enrolled in my class year, but nobody had been able to stick it out. And I was working at a college and seeing the students of color that were showing up and many for the first time, maybe out of their own home, neighborhood, community, and some for the very first time ever encounter real racist and stereotyping behaviors. So I got some kind of interested in what was going on. And I was working with the dean for multicultural students. And I was also very actively involved in the local NAACP. At some point in time, we had several racist events happen in Saratoga and around, including a Ku Klux Klan march and rally in Schuylerville, and burning in a cross burning on the lawn of a couple in Wilton, and somebody in Balsam Spa had a brick thrown through, mixed race couple had a brick thrown through their window, and a bunch of people in Saratoga got together and said, "This isn't us." And realizing that there was no body, no human rights organization to kind of bring forward another point of view. So all of these negative racial events were happening, but there was no counterbalance to it. And so they started a group called SEED. And I became the chair of SEED for about 10 years, Saratogians for Equality and Acceptance of Diversity. And through that, we started doing small workshops. I also became a part of the Dismantling Racism Project at the Social Justice Center in Albany, where the executive director had worked with Peace Action in Boston to bring anti-racism workshops here to the Albany area. So as I was sort of pondering, how can I get into helping students graduate from college, students of color graduate from college, I was invited to go to a Dismantling Racism workshop. It was a 2.5 days. It was in Albany. I met some fantastic, fantastic leaders of the movement. And we became a collective training group. And so we worked in biracial dyads, so it'd always be a person of color working with a white person, because we believe that each group of people have different things we need to do to overcome racism. I began training with them. It was a very heavy curriculum. I still find 20 years later, 30 years later, that some of those workshops were critical and still are critical to helping to open people's eyes to understand what racism is. I continued to do trainings and began to develop more and more trainings. And I was working within Coalition Against Sexual Assault. And so beginning to train within that field about how race, you know, really affects who gets raped and who gets punished. And so then we began to include LGBTQ issues within our trainings. And also getting familiar with trauma-informed care and understanding ACEs, which are adverse childhood experiences. At one point a few years ago, I was hired with another person who actually had been on the Dismantling Racism team with me. And we did a series of trainings for a college in upstate New York that was experiencing tremendous growth in the students of color being recruited from New York City. And yet the student body and the faculty were not prepared to really truly have people of color be successful with them. Through the workshops that we did, it was a series of three workshops over an 18-month period. I truly did see the students of color take on some understanding about the power that they held and that they were able to begin to negotiate with the institution about things that they needed. And maybe our success is that somebody completes their college through all of that. Maybe there'll be somebody who can just move in the world a little bit easier or a little bit more confidently or be a little more open because of something I said or did decades ago. Until we can get past the doctors who get the exact same resume, one with a black sounding name, one with a white sounding name, and the different treatment that those two resumes get. Yeah. Same thing with job interviews. So until we can really get past that, we're not seeing the best brains that we may have. We're not seeing the best that we can get from every person that can help us be a healthy, thriving community. Yeah.